This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
Good afternoon. You're listening to Live and Learn with me, Dashran Johan. Hand Kids is a learning organization that aims to help children aged 5 to 12 years old to build confidence, self-esteem, focus, and a winning attitude. But what exactly do they do and why do they do it? Joining me on the show today to discuss exactly that is Coach Hanky, founder of Hand Kids, as well as Coach Evie. She's the Hand Kids Children Leadership Coach. Welcome to the show, guys. How are y'all doing?
Thank you, Dash. Yeah, we're doing great.
Yep, doing really great. Thanks for having us.
Hanky, what exactly is Hand Kids? What does your organization do?
Okay, Dash. For Hand Kids, right, actually, it's a children leadership education platform. What we do is we help children to build in terms of their identity, and we help to build leaders. So for the past 9 years, we have been working with about 50,000 children to build up their on their inner confidence, to build on their responsibility. But most importantly is our goal is to aim to build leaders who are principle-centered, you know, who are actually very focused on the vision and not so much about, oh, because there's corruption or because there's other elements, but why do they want to do it and what do they want to contribute to the world and to the community?
Right. And what would you say are the core values of Hand Kids?
When we talk about the core values of Hand Kids, it's very much focused in terms of going deep from their inner self and then embracing it up. That means we talk about unconditional love. We talk about giving. Because a lot of time when people talk about leadership, right, they're very much focused on their own self. You know, parents talking to the children and say, hey, be successful. And when they talk about being successful, it means about having a great career, you know, having to buy your house, a car, or as a matter of fact, to build your own family. But I think when we talk about building a leader, it's about the facts of giving. How can an individual contribute? You know, and whatever career that they choose to do or whatever the business that they choose to do, it is driven because of a purpose. Yeah, a lot of time people are driven by profit, for example. You know, but there's actually two other components that's equally important that we need to build in a child or as a matter of fact in an adult, which is purpose and passion. So passion focuses a lot more about what I like to do, but purpose focuses on what I need to do in order for me to contribute.
Right.
So that's what I've been doing for the past almost 10 years already. Yeah, and our kids has grown up. Some of them, they have stories whereby a child who saved another child in drowning in the pool. We have a child who have a very harsh relationship with the parents and how the child can actually mend the relationship as well. Ah. So that's how we empower kids to step up in that platform.
Okay, that's very interesting because this is an aspect of education that not many people think about. Because like you said, most people, you know, they think about, oh, okay, successful means, okay, I want you to make a lot of money. That's pretty much people's definition of success. But what you're talking about, you know, is this idea of leadership skills. And even then you go into various dimensions. You talk about giving back to society and all of that. How did it all start, Hanky? What was the inspiration behind Hand Kids? What was the light bulb moment for you?
Rasuah. No, much bigger than that is actually world peace. Yeah, you see, Dash, the world is enough for everyone, but it's never enough for those who are greedy, right? So for me personally, if you ask me 15 years ago, what would our vision be? It's probably to be the number one children leadership center. But today, our vision is about world peace and abundance by developing enlightened leaders through children. So sometimes I look at the world that we're in today, you know, and how I wish that all the leaders put their voice to the front and their principles centered, that they care. It's not just about my own race, my own religion, or my own community, but they are able to see bigger than that, you know, and they're focusing on giving. But at the same time, I'm not saying that, oh, they should not be focusing on money or what. It's like buying a car. You know, when you buy a car, you need to have petrol, right? To keep going. But the purpose of buying a car is never because of the petrol. I buy a car because I want to collect petrol. So when we build a business, when we build a career, it's never because of I want the money. But the money is important still for us to continue to drive the car to the destination that where we want to go. So what is the purpose of our life? Is it just about me, 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 me? Or is it more about the world itself and unconditional love. A lot of times, you know, people say that we focus a lot on the problem itself, and it is true. That's where it all started, you know. I used to be one of those keyboard warriors who and thumbing and venting out my frustration. But then again, I start to refocus back on the vision instead. You know, a lot of time people know what they do not want, but actually what do we want? So that is the first part of it, right? And the second part of it is like turning the dreams or the purpose into a reality or into action. So what am I going to do about it? You know, prior to this, I was a corporate trainer in the banking world, training the adults. And of course, when we talk about adults, right, they have a certain identity of how they were molded through their community, through their culture, to their race or religion. So it is by chance. But what if those identity is by design? You know, and everything that we build with the children, we can actually build it by principle-centered, but not so much on the values, right? Values could be, maybe for you, it could be the truth. For me, it could be different. But when we talk about principle, it has two tests that you got to pass. First, you got to be borderless. It means, for example, like respect. Whether you're in Malaysia, India, or America, it is accepted across the nation. The second test is timeless. So whether it's 10 years ago now or 10 years from now, respect is still a principle. So we actually look into all these principles, and then we craft and design an experience for the children to experience through it, to a point that actually it builds upon their identity. So when their identity or the belief system stays with them as they grow up, they make a choice through their belief system that is actually principle-centered. Right. So that's what we aim to do with the children.
Right. Evie, what about you? Kenki has talked about, you know, why he ventured into this, why he decided to start Hand Kids in the first place. What do you think about his philosophy? And also, why did you decide to join Hand Kids?
So for me, I think growing up, I was very aware that I was brought up in a very privileged environment. So I had literally everything that I needed. You know, money was never an issue. I never need to worry about next year on my table, education. Everything was all handled, right? And until when I went to college, right, when I started going to school and I started seeing that outside of my home, outside of where I stay, all the privilege that I'm gifted with, there are actually people out there who are suffering, right? I started working with refugee children when I was 18. After graduating from school, I took sort of like a gap year to work with kids. So in that experience, I got to know stories of children, how they came, you know, from countries where there's war and coming here as a refugee, wanting to have a better life. Mm-hmm. And coming here and being denied of education and saying you cannot go to school because you're from this country. So hearing their stories and then, you know, going to their houses, seeing their living conditions. So I work in the day, and then when I go home, I'm back to my privileged space. So every day I can see this contrast of life. And it makes me wonder, what am I doing about this? Why am I gifted with so much privilege, and why did I actually start out this journey? And this vision of world peace and creating abundance has always been something that is connected to my heart. And so when Hank was like, okay, come on board, then I was like, let's do this. Because this is something that must be done, right? If it's to be, it has to be up to me. I can't, you know, blame people and say, okay, you know, it's not fair. These children don't get an education. Why not I step up and say, I'm going to create and make sure these children, they get to go to school and they get to be in a space that says, hey, you are important and you matter, right? You are loved. So that's exactly what I'm trying to create here together with Hank as well. Yeah.
So what would you say is your philosophy of education right now? How do you view the purpose of education?
In education, I feel that it is for each child to realize, number one, the possibilities that they are meant to be. Right, because a lot of times I see in school, you know, teachers are like, okay, do this, each child's light and their brightness, right? What about their voice? What about their confidence? And what about their creative idea? A lot of times I see children, when they first come in, sometimes they're like, oh, maybe my idea is not good enough. Because they've been conditioned for so many years in school that, oh, you know, just follow what the crowd says. your idea is not important or it's too out of the box. So I think creating a space where each child is heard and each child can express themselves freely and be able to build on whatever they have is really, really important. So that's the first part. And the second part is definitely like what Hanky said, building children who live a life of service. Yeah. I realized that my life became meaningful when I started to focus out on the kind of world that I want to create. And that was how I got out of times where I myself was suffering, when I myself was, you know, in self-pity or self-blame. When I started to focus out on, a friend needed my hand, that I said, okay, you know what? I'm going to be there for you. That's how I got out of my suffering. And that's how that life of fulfillment, that happiness that is not just temporary, it's long-lasting, it's meaningful, came to me in my life. So I feel that in education, if each child is able to learn that, hey, when I live a life of service, when I actually serve people, help people, that's where I can live a life of fulfillment no matter what I do, whatever career that I'm on. Yeah. In fact, I was just talking to one of my parents yesterday and she shared with me her child, how her child started to transform when she is able to learn that contribution is the way forward. And the little action that she does, you know, the way she helps a friend in school who's struggling, and the way that she landed to this friend that says, you know what, you're struggling, I will be here for you. I will support you or guide you through. And I think if each child is able to have that, they will not only have a really fulfilling life of their own, they are able to empower other people to have that kind of life as well. Yeah, so that's why, you know, no matter how hard it gets, you know, when times get tough, you know, different challenges coming along, mm-hmm. things pile up, I stay true to this vision. Because if there is a child today that knows that she or he is loved, and if she or he lives a life of contribution, can be successful, then the work that I do matters.
Fantastic. So what exactly do you do, Evie, as the children leadership coach?
So I actually am the co-founder of Speak to Lead. So that's the public speaking arm of HandKids. Oh. So a lot of what we do is we build children in their being. So the way that they voice out their truth. So a lot of times I see that public speaking is focused a lot on skills. So how well you do your body language, how well you move your tonality. But what I see lacking in children is that essence when they speak. You know, do they speak out of their heart? Do they speak message that can give value to people? So in Speak to Lead, I work and focus building the children 7 to 12 to build up that part of themselves that gets them to expand, okay, beyond skills. When I have this being of wanting to serve, wanting to give value, all the other things actually come along. So that is the core of it.
Yeah. All right. On the show with me today are Coach Hanky. He's the founder of HandKids, and Coach Evie. She's the HandKids Children Leadership Coach. After the break, I'll be asking them why they choose to focus on preschoolers and young kids. We'll be back with more on Live and Learn, BFM 89.9. Welcome back to Live and Learn. I'm Dashran Johan. And on the show with me today are Coach Hanky. He's the founder of HandKids, and Coach Evie, HandKids Children Leadership Coach. And we're talking about the organization that they are part of, HandKids, which aims to help children aged 5 to 12 years old build confidence, self-esteem, focus, a winning attitude, leadership skills, the whole gamut, right? They're essentially looking at education in a very fresh way, in a way that many people did not think about before. Now, Hankies, before the break, Evie brought up something about, you know, a child's being, you know, the fundamental being of someone. And this is written on your website as well, where, and I quote, it says, realized how important it is. You realize how important it is for people to learn about the fundamental beings. What exactly do you mean by that, Hanky?
Well, a lot of times when we talk about education, it focuses a lot on result-based approach. So the result-based will mean that, oh, what do you get? What do I get? What will I have? So it builds up a mindset that in life, I need to have this, then only I can do this, then only I can be like this, right? And then some people have a mindset of do have be, if only I can do this. So you're not good in your education. Do more homework, do more tuition so that you can have a good result. Then only you can be a good student. But actually, in Hankins, we focus a lot on identity-based approach. It starts with the being. That's why we are called human being, right? We are not human having or human doing. We are human being. So when we focus on the being, it will actually translate into the action and then eventually to the result itself. So that's the reason why we studied them young at preschool and we provide them with that environment. Because when we talk about the being or the identity, it could come from how a child model their parents. That's number one. You know, seeing how my parents behave towards money and everything, or
right,
how they behave towards their neighbor. The second is through the words of affirmation from the people around them, right? You know, sometimes when we work with certain parents, and I'm generalizing, okay? If I have a Westerner's parents that came into our space and we just say, hey, your child has done well, he's very good. Then the parents will just say, oh, thank you, Koshenki. But sometimes in Malaysia, you know, when the grandma bring the child over, they say, hey, your son did well. And then the grandma say, ah, no lah, boy is stupid one. Then the boy start to believe that, right? Because of the words that was, you know, keep on affirming. Or parents, they can say, oh, he is very shy. Mm-hmm. So those are actually a label, a personalization of label that is placed upon a child. And then they start to believe that, oh, yes, maybe I am lazy, I am shy. So therefore, as a parent, right, it's actually very, very important to be careful not to label a child. But you can state the facts. Well, like, for example, if there's a lot of things on the table, you can say, wow, John, there's a lot of things on the table. But the moment you say, John, why are you so messy? Then John will grow up believing that, oh, I'm a messy person. But the third one is actually an experience. So when you have a certain experience in your life, right, it actually molded and shaped the way of how you see things and what how you see yourself. You know, if a person walks, the mom gave him money and then he's supposed to go to a shop to buy something and then he lost the money, then it was such a horrific event. The mom say, oh, you're not good with money. You know, you can't take good care of your money, you see? So that event itself will craft an identity or a belief system on a person. So if that is the case, that is by chance, is there a way that we can do it by design? You know, to create an experience for the child to experience what responsibility is really all about. To create an experience for the child to feel that, wow, when I step up being on the stage, it feels so good. So that experience itself can help them to craft an identity that will support them in their life vision.
Hanky, you know, what do you think is the problem with the Malaysian education system right now?
For me personally, there's two. Mm-hmm. One is that, as I mentioned earlier, it's very result-based approach.
Mm.
Yeah, because when we talk about human being mastering something, right, there are actually three levels. The most basic level is at the intellectual level, right? Maybe I go to a moral class and then you say, okay, bertanggung jawab, what's the definition? Memorize it. So those are at intellectual level.
Right.
But the second level of mastery is at an emotional level of it. How do I feel towards the word responsibility? Do I feel good? You know, when I start to take good care of my things and everything, it's a very strong, empowering feelings. So the emotion part of it is the second level. But the deepest level of all is at that identity level. When a person say, hi, I'm Hank, I'm a responsible man. It means this person has actually taken this value as part of his identity already. So how often in our school education system focusing on that? I think that's one area. Definitely the teachers have done a great job, you know, supporting and building up the children. But my biggest question is for those who are managing and leading in Malaysian education system, are they pure on their vision? Are their vision driven, or they're driven by what they think the riot wants? It's a popular choice. What do they think that they will get a vote at the end of the day? You know, so if the vision dictates the action, right, I think that it's going to be great. But when a person holds back because for the fear that if I do this, it might not be a popular choice, then I think that will hold back everyone in the organization or in the country itself.
Mm-hmm.
So having a great leader that is vision-driven, that is bold enough to make a stand, not just for the student, but for the educators, I think those are important elements to have in our education system.
Certainly. Now, Evie, I see you nodding your head in agreement. What is your take? What do you think is the problem with the Malaysian education system? And on top of that, right, Hanky brought up something interesting earlier about just generally speaking, you know, how Western parents, you know, may react to something. Let's say if you say your child did well versus how Asian parents. Do you think that apart from the education system, there's also a problem with the way society views what education is and its purpose?
I would echo with Hanky. It's a lot on result-based approach. So how often do we make sure that a child learns to apply and not just learn for an exam?
Mm-hmm.
Right? How applicable are the things we're learning right now such that it can be used to create what this person wants in the future? So I do see, as a student myself previously and now, you know, working, I see the gap between learning it for the sake of it and learning it for a purpose. So how are our children or our students learning with a purpose? Do our children know why they want to learn? And I think that's a key for children to actually pick up things. So they're self-driven and motivated rather than just learning for the sake of an exam. So which comes back to the reason why we focus on building beings. Because once I build my being of, I want to be responsible, this is what I want to create in this world, in this lifetime, then I have a reason to, okay, why do I need to learn maths? Why do I need to learn science? How does it relate? That purpose element of it. I think second part is also how well trained or how in depth are our educators, and how much ownership do educators take towards their children's learning, not just a 9-to-5 job, but it's also, you know, investing your heart and soul into this lifetime. Because I've had, you know, teachers who are so dedicated. You know, they care for each child. They make sure that this child learns. They stay back with the children, really go deep with each child, understanding their family and all that. And I've also experienced teachers who, you know, they just don't care, right? So how are we, as an institution, building and creating spaces for these educators to take ownership and build that responsible part of it?
Certainly. Yeah. What about the problem with society? Do you think there is a problem with the way people, just parents, even students themselves, with the way they view what education's purpose is?
I actually do experience this because I see a lot of, you know, friends in when I was in university doing, you know, assignments just for the sake of it. So it comes down a lot on how do we integrate learning with life and not just learning and learning itself. So for example, we go to university, right? We learn, we get our certs. How much of it is integrated to eventually what we want to do as a person? And when we come out into the society, do I see work as work and then life as life? Or do I see my work as part of my life and I'm fulfilled doing it? You know, you want me to do, you know, use the weekends to do it. I'm actually happy doing it. So how many, you know, students are actually happy doing their assignments and enjoying it or enjoying their homework, you know, in that process? So I think that that separation of it, you know, seeing like, okay, work is work, you know, fun is fun. That is an issue that the society is experiencing rather than an integration of how is work fueling my life and life fueling my work.
Right. Hanky, how do you convince people of this philosophy? Because a lot of times where you see someone saying something like this, for example, when YB Mazli Malik, when he was the education minister and he abolished standardized tests for UPSR and PMR, and you know, and he said that things shouldn't be just focused on exams. You had a lot of backlash from parents themselves. You know, it was, you know, people were like, oh, then how am I going to, what's the purpose of this? What's the purpose of going to schools? If they're not going to be studying for exams, then no need to go to school. You know, they're just going to be running around and wasting their time. How do you even evaluate kids? You hear things a lot. And even from some students who, when you talk about taking certain philosophy classes to learn about life, you know, or political sociology classes and things like that, you get a lot of people saying, yeah, but what's the point of this? Like, I just want to learn something and then get a job and get a paycheck. How do you convince people of your philosophy? And why do you think it's important? Why do you think it's important that they are convinced of this?
I think we are going through this thing that transitioning phase right now, whereby the consciousness of human being, you know, and the younger generation, they start to be aware of taking their own responsibility of their personal growth. So when they start to see that, right, of course, there will be a mismatch, because to their parents, what the parents want is their child to be happy and secure or safe, right? And they see that, you know, going to university is the only way to go through it, right? So human beings always make the best choice with what they know of. But the problem is that if they only know choice A and B, therefore they are limited, right? So my goal is to actually to enhance the awareness of the choices of how people see things. Because with more choices, they can make a better decision. Like, for example, if I ask you, Dash, how many types of snow do you know exist in your life?
Snow?
Yeah.
Wow. One type of snow, lah.
Right? If I go to the north, I'll take one.
Yes.
But the Eskimo, they know 32 types of snow.
Wow.
They know what snow can heal their body, what snow can eat, what snow can be used to build an igloo. Therefore, they have more choices compared to us, and we only see one snow, right? So the goal is to increase the choices. Then ultimately, when they see choice C, D, E, and yet they still want to go back to A, it's fine. It's their choice, right? But this younger generation who are starting to be more cautious already, in terms of how they choose the path that they're going to, they have to eventually make a stand, you know, show to their parents, like, hey, how, even though I'm choosing the path that's less traveled, I have a plan. I know how to go about with it, right? And eventually, when the kids start to see the result, when the parents start to see the result, how their children are creating, then the parents will start to have that, you know, and it will break in that generation where that child itself, when it grows to be an adult, their next generation will be slightly different already in that context.
Right.
If you ask me 10 years ago, if I go to college, say, hey, free training, you know, I'll be probably alone with just one person in my workshop. But today I can start to see a lot of college students, they are willing to invest themselves, to attend training, to grow themselves, you know. I think we're heading towards this transitional phase, and leaders, young generation of leaders, are stepping up. Yeah. And it's just a matter of time where we move towards a self-learning evolution, whereby people no longer just rely on university to learn, but it's beyond that.
Certainly. Now, Hanky, why did you decide that starting these programs that you're running, why do you aim it at preschoolers? Why do you think that's necessary? And what exactly do you teach these kids? We talk a lot about your philosophy and all, but what exactly are y'all teaching them?
So at preschool, that's where they have a lot of imprints. That's where they learn to model. And that's the stage where they're actually building up on their identity. So if I were to train adults right now, what I need to do is to break it first and then rebuild again. Right. So that will take a fair bit of an effort as well. But if I start them young and then I start to plant this seed in them, you know, I have a kid who, when she was 8 years old, 10 years ago, we taught her about being her real self.
Right.
Then recently I met with the mom. The mom said, hey, Coach Hanky, do you remember my daughter? She came to me recently and said, hey, Coach taught me before 10 years ago that be myself. I don't have to buy branded stuff just to prove to my friend. So the fact that she can still remember even after 10 years later, right? I think those are the seeds that we believe in and we plant it in them so that they can make different choices as they grow up. So elements like, first, we build on their self-esteem, their self-worth. We focus on their confidence building. That's number one. Number two is purpose-driven. You know, to let them see that everything that they do must have purpose, you know? If not, they just work. That's why you have this thing called the Monday blues. And thank God it's Friday. It's very sad if you're work and you're just only focusing on looking forward for the weekend, to be very frank.
Right.
Yeah. But when you work with a purpose, you know you're doing what you're, why you're doing it. I thought that would be quite meaningful. Number three, is about true grit, not giving up that easily. Yeah. So those are the elements that we believe in, and choosing to be responsible in however things that happens in their life. Not just to blame on my management, blame the government, blame this. How can I take full responsibility of everything that happens around me?
Right.
So those are the core four fundamentals that we build in a child. And we believe that if they uphold upon these four elements, it will actually support them in other areas of their life.
All right. So who has HandKids collaborated with in the past? Because this is very interesting. Do y'all approach a lot of universities, even like public schools, and things like that? Have y'all worked with the education ministry? Because it's a very cool a lot of cool ideas that you guys have there, and I don't know whether many people know about it.
Yeah, we work mainly with private school actually as of now. Yeah, but I've always been looking forward to help and to support the education ministry. As a matter of fact, we have already helped in the Japanese education, Japanese school. You know, we support them by bringing our technology to their school. Because in Japan, what they face is very different from Malaysia. Because of their culture, the kids suppress their emotion. They don't really express out their true self.
Right.
So there's a lot of holdback. Number two is because of their culture of, you know, the I want shouldn't fail, you know, the harakiri thingy and everything else. Therefore, for a child in Japan to write down, my goal is to be a doctor, they wouldn't dare to write down because what if I can't achieve it? I rather don't write it down. So actually, we went in there for 2 years to help a school to build this leadership culture, you know, in their school to allow their child to truly live. So we have worked with schools in Japan, in Indonesia, Philippines, and yet not so much with Malaysia's education ministry yet. Right. But definitely, we are looking forward to empower the teacher, especially on coaching skill. You see, I think there's few skills that is really cool for educators to have. One is gamification skill. You know, when the teacher can teach children to learn, not because they have to, but because they want to. So gamification could be one element. The second is coaching skill. How can a teacher coach a child? You know, we used to run this one workshop about teamwork. And then there's one child, when she wants to put in the balls into the space, you know, she's not able to do it. And then at one point she said, coach, I'm giving up. I don't want to play anymore. Then that particular coach actually coached her. And then she tried one more time, and then she ever successfully, you know, getting it done. When all the child are writing down about teamwork, everything, this one child, she wrote down, I will never, ever give up in my life again. You know?
Wow.
So I thought that was really beautiful that child would have embraced that and it stays with them. Yeah.
Yeah, certainly. I think it sounds very, very interesting. All of your programs that y'all done, in fact, like I think Hand Kids as a whole, yeah, it's something that people definitely should check out. Evie, you've mentioned that y'all have a sponsorship program coming up. You want to tell us a little bit about that and how can people you know, get more information about it, sign up for it? Who are y'all looking for in particular, all of that?
Sure. So ever since the MCO, and kids actually wanted to extend this education to more children, especially children who are struggling financially in terms of education. So how can we, when we came up and started this sponsorship program, we wanted to make sure that children, even though they can't financially afford, you know, building up, you know, the leadership in Hand Kids, they're able to also get this chance to grow themselves as a leader, such that as when they grow up, they are able to lead their community out of, you know, the cycle that they're in. So this sponsorship program is called Thank Kids Sponsorship Program under the Thank Kids Foundation, which is the foundation of Hand Kids. So to find out more information, it's available on our website. Yeah, and then we will be sharing our information on Facebook as well, so that all parents, if you feel that you need support financially in terms of building your child up, whether it's character, leadership, Hand Kids is here to support you. And we also offer preschool education for children 3 to all the way to 6 years old, so that if you need support, Hand Kids is here to jump in, to make sure that your child, no matter, you know, where you're from or the color of your skin, you deserve a good education. And the teachers and coaches here are here to support you.
Yeah, you mentioned Hand Kids website. You want to tell us what the website is exactly?
Yep, you go to www.handkids.com, Handkids Malaysia, if you Google search it, and you'll be able to find it on the first click, search result. Yeah.
Okay. As we wrap this conversation up, Evie, a final message from you?
To live a life of fulfillment, the key to it is to focus out and to see how can you be of service to the people around you. If you're someone who is struggling right now or you're going through something of yourself, what I learned throughout my journey here in Hand Kids and through my journey working with children is to focus out. Look out on who can you help, who can you serve at this point of time. And then you will realize that your suffering is alleviated and that your life will go to the next level. Yeah, so I think that's the key message that I want to share with everyone here.
What about you, Hanky?
All right. For me, education is beyond examination, you know. And it's not just about the university or the degree or the paper that we have at the end of the day, but it's a lot more about who we become. Yeah. And as we choose to be who we choose to be, how can we contribute? How can we grow? How can we put our voice to the front? Allow your child to put their voice to the front. You know, like for example, we have this competition called President Speech. We look for the next child motivational speaker, and our finals will be on the
27th November, this coming Saturday.
Right. So very kids cool.
Stepping up, making a stand, putting their voice to the front, you know, and have faith in your child. Build on who they can be instead of just what they can have at the end of the day.
On that note, Evie, Hanky, thank you so much for joining me today.
Thank you. Thank you, Dash.
Thank you.
I've been speaking to Coach Hanky, founder of HandKids, and Coach Evie, HandKids Children Leadership Coach. So as they mentioned earlier, they've got a sponsorship program coming up. If you'd like to check it out, you can go to their website. It's handkids.com. That's HANKIDZ.com. If you missed any part of this conversation, you can check out the podcast on the BFM app, bfm.my, or pretty much wherever you get your podcasts from. I'm Dashran Johan, and this has been Live and Learn, BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.